Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Benn, and I am deeply grateful to have this chance to be with you on this beautiful June 1st day, 2019. Summer is here, so to speak. We're going to talk about marriage. Oh my goodness. Today is the wedding day, marriage day we're going to talk about, because I get a lot of emails regarding relationships, marriage, things like that. It's a constant issue. Less people now are getting married than ever before. I think that's interesting. Also, according to statistics, birth rate is down. That's interesting. All of this kind of parallel to finances and all sorts of things. We'll talk about it here in a moment. I want to remind you that this radio program is made possible only out of the generosity of your heart. Should you find that any or all of my radio programs are of service to you, I hope that you will avail yourself of becoming a sponsor and helping us sustain our radio program. We need your financial support. It's how we pay for everything that we do here on Aspire, whether it be TV, radio, or hospice, or whatever I do. This is how it's done. Nothing, my dear ones, is free in this world, not even my checking account. So I hope you will become a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, down at the bottom, you will see why support Aspire. And this is a very good question, and if you click on it, it will tell you all the things that we do with your donations, how we help humankind, how we serve people, and that your gift, of course, is tax deductible. You will receive a receipt, and for your donation, you get some really lovely gifts, commentaries, podcasts, video casts, a chance to download all of my TV discourses that I did over there, all of the years of my broadcasting life. It's all there for you. And there are 122 of them on all sorts of subjects, everything there to serve you, to help you, because that's what Aspire does. It is there to serve humankind and to serve you. So I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us maintain what it is we're doing. It's very, very important. Marriage. What do you think of your marriage? Are you married? Are you happily married? Could there be such a thing as being happily married? Well, to a lot of people, that's a hard question. Do you feel like you would marry the same person now that you're with? Would you marry them again? The definition of marriage is having a husband or wife, relating to a married life, closely combined and linked with a moral obligation. Whoa, boy. Goes on and on and on, that kind of thing. Are you, do you think you should be married? Well, what constitutes a marriage? What is marriage? How long should they last? I have been married three times. I have definitely some experience in this. I've married thousands of people in my career. Won't do that anymore. It's not a nice thing to do. So anyway, I'm going to go on. Take my wife, please. You know, let's get into it and see what we come up with. That was a Henny Youngman joke. For those of you who are too young to know Henny Youngman, he's a very funny man. He was. He really was. First question comes from Gail. Oh, by the way, I don't know where any of these people live. They don't tell me. And I wonder why. Okay, why do we get married? Is it only reproduction? No love? Gail. And then she goes on to tell me she thought marriage was one thing and it turned out to be another and blah, blah. So that's what we all find out one way or the other. Why do we get married? Legalized sex. There's men get married for different reasons than women. For women, it is basically the chance to get pregnant, to fulfill their DNA, and make a business deal to be taken care of for the rest of their life. They know in the back of their mind and in the front of their mind that the law kind of bends towards them, and it does. And if they have a kid, they got the guy for life, blah, 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 because there's child support and alimony and all that other wonderful things that we have in this godforsaken country that we are in right now. And here we are. Why do we get married? It is a matter of genetics, DNA. It is a matter of getting married due to the body and how the body needs to have fulfillment through its DNA, its primitive kind of, what do we want to say, instincts, how DNA is going into our primal needs for not just having babies, but having sexual intercourse, having orgasms, thinking that we belong to someone. And if the orgasm is correct and the form of the person is correct in the person's mind. Now, men fall in love with what they see, and women, no. You really have to understand that. We fall in love with what we see. Women fall in love with what they hear. And it is an old adage, but I'm telling you, it is true. I sit with people in counseling over the many years of my life, sitting there, hearing them tell me they're in love and saying the most unloving, ungodly things in the counseling room you have ever heard. I mean, it's awful. And then you sit there and you think to yourself, well, was there ever any love in any of this? And for the most part, there was never love in any of it. It was instinct, primal instinct, to find a mate that is suitable for taking care of the child or making a child that the two would be, so to speak, proud of, and then, quote unquote, falling in love with that, being taken care of financially for the woman, and for the man, what's in it? It's only pleasing her because he enjoys sex with her. We have a very hard time understanding our sexual urges. Most people don't want to understand. They think it's natural. It's just natural when you feel sexual. And it is natural. The instincts are there. Men are predators. They are. But that's the way we were built to be. It's in our DNA, and women are seductresses, and that's just the way they are, and that's the way they were meant to be, so to speak, in the biology of the whole thing. And so when you're sniffing around genitals and looking for some kind of mate that is going to fulfill your fantasies, your legal and financial obligations, marriage seems to be the only answer. So why do we get married? To fulfill our DNA. DNA. That's the whole thing. The genetics come in because whatever you mate with, whatever sperm hits the egg, is a matter of the genetics that get involved in that DNA. And you get ancestry, and you get all of her ancestry, all of his ancestry. You combine them together, and now they're in this thing called, everybody glamorizes it as family. I've done counseling for over 47 years, and I can tell you there's nothing glamorous about family, and they fight, they scream, and when you get down to the bottom line and you're trying to help a family, the whole thing is basically about being a clan, it's all about money, it's all about staying in the small-mindedness of the family, the genetic heritage mentally, emotionally, psychologically, of the family. They all have to agree on something. There's embarrassment. And when you get down to the nitty-gritty, and nobody gets this honest with each other, if you were to take your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, anybody in your family, and you would look at them and say, would I want to know this person out on the street? Would I want to make friends with them? Would I basically enjoy their company? 80%, 80 if not more, no. I've asked them that question. No, no. And I ask married people, people who've been married for a long time, are you happy in the marriage? No. Why do you stay? I don't know. They don't want to be alone. It's all about not wanting to be. First, it's all about that primal urge to mate, to have sex, great sex. And then the next thing you know, along with that comes the obligation of children. And of course, in the 70s and 80s and 90s, people really didn't take having children very seriously. They didn't. What we see now with millennials and Gen Xers and all of that is like the carbon footprint of stupidity of the people who raised these poor kids and didn't give them anything they really needed to help them along in their life, to give them a sense of life, to say to a child or teach a child how to live in that body and not to confuse the body with what lives inside the body, the true, authentic, what we'll use the word, self. Nobody does that. Nobody. I never met one couple that ever did anything like that. Sad to say, and true to form, people just think, well, you know, the school system will take care of those kids. They'll raise them for me. I got to go to work and yada-da, yada-da, yada-da. It's like a child is some kind of distant pet, you know, that we have, and we just put some water and food down and lock it out in the backyard and go do our thing and hope for the best. This is really an ugly thing we've done. And when you start looking at how children live their life as they grow up and become forms and versions of their parents, it's frightening. It is. And we have yet to see the Holocaust that's about to occur. Really, we are. We have yet to see this whole thing manifest itself, and it's starting to, and it's ugly. So there you are. Is it only for reproduction, principally in the beginning? Yes. But, you know, as Gail, as your hormones and your chemistry changes in your body, keeping this really simple, you change. You're not you. Because you're you because of the chemicals and the hormones and the things that are going on in your body. And that makes how you think possible, what you believe in possible. You're not, I know you all want to think you're a product of individuality. You're not. You don't even make decisions for yourself. Read Behave. The book, you will learn a great deal about your biology and how attached you are to that biology and how nothing in that biology has anything to do with individuality. Well, there you are. No love, you say? Love? You love what keeps you alive. What did Jesus say? Your greatest enemies shall be those of your own household, your own family. And if you look at the way Jesus treated his mother, his brother, his sisters, well, it'd be very, very unloving in your opinion, I'm sure. Gail, I'm sure this isn't the answer you wanted, but you asked, and I'm very grateful you did. And somewhere out there in Radio Land, there'll be someone going, oh, yeah. Please forgive me. Namaste. This one comes from Catherine. And again, I don't know. My marriage was fine till I lost my job. Now I don't have... I'm sorry. Forgive me. This isn't Catherine. Forgive me. My computer. This is from Craig. Craig, not Catherine. Catherine's coming up. My marriage was fine till I lost my job. She wants a divorce now. What the hell, Craig? I don't know the particulars of all of this. I don't, Craig. I forgive me. And I'm sorry this is happening to you. I deeply am. A divorce is a very painful, ugly thing, but it brings about clarity. That's how I use it. And I, you know, people go, it's a failed marriage. And you didn't. No, it's not. It went as far as it could go, and its true colors showed. And you can sit there and learn about all the communication skills you want. It isn't going to change the fact of a person's genetics and their relationship to their body and their DNA. You are marrying, when you marry someone, you marry legions of people. I mean, legions. They all live inside us. And with all of these legions coming out in various forms and different times in our life, when the chemicals are right here and they merge with the synapses of the brain firing off in a certain way and da-da-da-da. Oh, it just gets so complicated, and I'm not going to get into it on the radio. There are so many wonderful books on the subject you can read, and I've read a lot of them. Believe me, I have, and I'm telling you, we don't stand a chance. The only reason you mate, Craig, is you are there to be what they like to call supportive. But, you know, men take advantage of that. They go out like Neanderthals. They don't develop kindness or compassion skills, even listening. They think, I brought home the money. I bought us the house, blah, blah. We got the kid through school, blah, blah. Not really, but they think this. And I've done my bit. I'm done. That's the way people like to think. But that's not true. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. That's not the way you work. There's far more involved in it. And how can I tell you all this in just a small amount of time? You have to understand you fulfilled your job with her. Now, you may say, well, she didn't fulfill mine, you know, her job with me, my expectations. And that may be true, but that doesn't mean they were fair. This is a biological experience for the most part. Rarely is it a spiritual experience. And can marriage be spiritual? Of course it can. But it has to be rooted in two people who are devoted to the practice of love, not the desires, ambition, pride, vanity, not the craziness that most people are involved in when it comes to being together for the sake of building a prideful union. That is kind of like something you go out into the world and say, see, we are better than everyone else, our family. I don't understand why people are so proud of a family when these people don't do much with their life, if anything, other than just fight to survive. I really don't get it. The family portrait, what does that mean? Here's all the people we made out of our sexual union that was irresponsible and we were totally unprepared for the consequences of it. And here are all the people sitting there, and for the most part, these people aren't going to make a dent in this world, not even a scratch. They're just going to take as much as they possibly can, reproduce themselves. Have you ever sat there and thought to yourself, what is the purpose of all of this? Reproduction, we're overpopulated as it is. And thank God, you know, the birth rate is dropping. That's a good thing. Marriage rates are dropping. And that's good. But that's only out of economics. And millennials do not believe they have a future. They don't believe in their economic future. They don't believe in the future of the planet and how it's turning out as far as the ecology is concerned. I mean, there's 100 million reasons why a person can sit there and think, oh, why have children? This is a useless experience. Why would you put any child through this world? It's an interesting thought. An interesting thought. So there you are. I don't know what to say to you about that. Yeah, you know, if the lifestyle isn't what they want, for the most part, a lot of people find their marriages breaking up on both sides, and there's not much you can do about that. Not a doggone thing. Not a doggone thing. And it's just the way people are. It's all about, are you ready? Really hear me, Craig. Survival. It's all about surviving and how you think in terms of survival. I wish you well. I wish you weren't going through all this. I wish you could maybe find a way to make it happen, but you know, it's probably better it didn't. And now you're seeing true colors, and that's very painful, very painful. Please forgive me. Namaste. Now, the next one is supposed to, well, I'm going to do Maria, and then I'll do the one I was supposed to do at another time, but my computer did a little shtickla on me here. This is from Maria. She did not tell me where she lives. My husband doesn't love me anymore. What can I do? Maria. Well, ask him why. What is it? Just sit there with him and say, I don't feel you love me anymore, as if he ever did. And then ask why. Just for your own sake, ask why. Maybe he'll tell you. Probably won't, but maybe he will. And if he does, you can go from there. What do you do? Well, Maria, all you can ask for is understanding. And ask that you would like to understand what went wrong, how it happened, where it went, and all the other goodies that we get involved in. Try to ask him if he could be honest with you, even if it means divorce. What is it about me that you don't love anymore? What is that all about? Just ask. You don't have to do anything right then about it. You can sit and mull it over maybe figure out something that you both can do that would make a new love in your relationship. Hardly the case. People generally don't do that. To re-fall in love in another way, instead of falling biologically in love, sexually in love, you know, getting all that, those hormones going, maybe you guys could do something unusual. In my 47 years of counseling with people, and I've done a lot of it, I try to get them to that place, but they won't go because they don't have any inclination. By now, the whole life is based in the biology, and they're like Neanderthals, both of them, the men and the women, and they, well, what do? I do the dishes. You don't do the dishes. I take out the trash. You don't have to take. It all comes down to some kind of bargaining thing. No one wants to explore their heart, the state of their loving heart, and share that with their mate and see if that's something that is of interest. No, they don't do that. They don't want to do that. It's all about being very pragmatical about living in this world and surviving and each other helping each other to survive. And that's about as far as it goes. It doesn't go into anything in depth because neither one of them usually have the mental acuity to do that. So you're in a tough place. You really are. And I'm sorry this is happening. But you need to find out, ask him bluntly, what is it about me you don't love anymore? You used to love me or did you never love me? Get a history of it. Find out. 9 times out of 10, and I say this with all great certainty. Are you ready? The guy won't know why, or he won't tell you the truth because he doesn't want to hurt you. It'll be one of those two things. He doesn't know why. Because I don't know why. He just doesn't know why. Because he's not in touch with himself at all. And if he does know why, he may not want to tell you why because it will hurt you so much. He wouldn't want that for you. So, you know, he'll just take on whatever he takes on for the sake of taking it on and being the bad guy or just saying, I've had enough, I know you're not going to change. You know, after you've lived with someone for a while, you know what they're capable of and what they're not, and that goes on and on and on. Again, Maria, I'm really sorry that this is happening, and I wish I could take your pain away. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, I hope this helped some of you. I have tons of questions here on it that I obviously didn't do. But if you ever want to continue this, let me know. Email me at greg@aspire.org. Send me a question. We'll go for it. Have a beautiful day. I'll see you tomorrow. Please forgive me, huh? Namaste.